Barbara Spencer is probably one of my favorite singers, other than Peg McCamey. I love Barbara Spencer. And I don't know if you know much about the Spencers, but boy, they sung some great many songs and did wonderful work for the Lord. This morning, Colossians chapter number 1. Continuing in the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church of Colossia. And today, we gave an introduction, sort of a start to this series of sermons out of this great letter that Paul will write to the church there at Colossia. He'll never visit that church, as we told you last week, but a faithful man, Epaphras, will bring the gospel there. And we'll talk some about him this morning. On a message today, miracles to be thankful for. Paul will mention some things here in our text this morning, Colossians 1, verses 3 through 8. He'll mention some things about this church and about these people, even though they're facing false doctrine. We talked about that last week. But there were those in the church that had made up their mind to stick with the stuff, to stick with Christ, to stick with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what we need today in our churches. People that's going to stick to the stuff. Amen. People that's going to be faithful to what God has said. People that's going to trust and stand with boldness. People that are looking for the soon coming of the Lord, because that's what He said in His Word. I've got nothing else in my life to do but to trust what God says, to live what God says, because that's all I've got. It's what God said. I trust what God said. I have faith in what God said. He's never let us down yet. And so as we look at this great book of the Bible, be reminded that these people were facing false teaching, just like we're facing false teaching today. There's false teaching on every hand, everywhere. And if you got to get yourself grounded and rooted in the Word of God. If not, you'll be overtaken by these false doctrine, by these false preachers. And the problem was, Christ was not having His proper place. Many of them, well, the false doctrine going around was, oh, Christ is a good man, but He's not the man. I tell you this morning, He's the man. We better put Him as the man or we're in trouble. And there were those in the church that were doing that. But many, many in the church were saying, oh, yeah, well, He's a good man. But I'm going to tell you what, He's more than a mere good man. He's Jesus Christ, the Savior. King of kings and Lord of lords. And this world may make fun of Him now, and they do, and they mock Him, and they criticize Him, and they mock preaching of the Bible, and they mock preachers, and they make fun of preachers. I was listening to the radio the other day. I was listening to a preacher. I'm telling you what, I was listening to him, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, where is this guy coming from? He was downing Baptist preachers. That's what he was downing. Oh yeah, and I was tuned in to him. And I thought, where is this guy coming from? I mean, he said what he was downing was eternal security. He said these preachers that preach eternal security, saved by grace, saved to the uttermost. He said they're stupid fools. I thought to myself, my goodness, have mercy. That man don't know what he's talking about. He didn't meet the same God I met. Amen. Because I know what He done down deep in me. I know what He changed. I know what direction I'm headed. And I know why I'm headed, by the grace of an almighty God. Not because of me, not because of you, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Let me tell you what, we better stay away from this false doctrine, and we better get grounded and rooted in the Word of God today. Quit listening to this nonsense going around. Amen. If it don't agree with your Bible, you better throw it out. Amen. Listen, there's people in churches today making fun of God, but here's what I like. There's people in churches today that's made their mind up. There's people in churches today that's made their mind up. I'm going to follow God in this grand old book, and I'm going to believe it until I'm dead and gone. Amen. That's what we need in our society today. People that says no matter what you do, and no matter what you say, no matter what you bring in, we're following Jesus Christ, and Him only are we sticking with. Amen. We need people with some stick-to-itness. Amen. Stick to God. Paul will mention in our text thanksgiving for those who were still looking to Christ and their faith. Well, I thank God for faithful people. I thank God for people that will stand on the Word of God. Paul was a great encourager. He encouraged the Christians. He encouraged the people of God. He encouraged them to stay. We've been studying in Timothy this morning. He was encouraging that young preacher. You see, Paul was a great encourager. And in this letter, he will give encouragement through thanksgiving. Five more times in this letter, Paul will mention thanksgiving in some form or another. Today, I want us to look at what Paul was thankful for. The things that God was doing in the lives of these Colossian believers. Today, we must be thankful for the things God is doing in our lives. You know why you're here this morning? If you're a Christian, I would hope you're here because you love God. Amen. I hope you're because you're thankful for what God has done in your life. Just this past week. Just think what God has done for you this past week. Amen. What He's helped you with. You say, I've had a bad week, preacher. Well, you're to thank God He got you through it. Amen. You're to thank God He brought you through it and you're sitting in His house today. Amen. We can be thankful, folks. In everything, give thanks, is what Paul said to the Thessalonians. In everything, even if you're having a bad day, thank God you can see the day in which you're having a bad day in. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, thankfulness must infiltrate the heart of every believer. Be thankful for what God's given you. Be thankful where He's put you. And maybe He has sent trouble your way. Be thankful for that, because if you're in Christ, listen, you're going to grow from it. Amen. Amen. We must be thankful. If we allow God, He can and will do mighty things in our lives. He's just waiting for you to allow Him to do great things in your life. And when we allow God to do those things in our life, it soon rubs off on those around us. Amen. You've heard me preach many times, things are infectious. A smile's infectious. I bet you I can get in front of you and smile long enough, you'll smile back at me. Amen. Huh? You know why? It becomes infectious. Yeah. If not, I'll make a face till you do. You see, these things become infectious. The power of God becomes infectious. You see, the joy of God rubs off on other people. Amen. The joy of Christ rubs off. And so we are to spread it around and be happy people. Now today, some things Paul was thankful for. I'm going to give you four things today that Paul was thankful for. But first I want to read the text. Let's read the text and then we'll go back and look at some things. Colossians 1, verse 3 through 8. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, I'll give you four things. Look, number one, Paul was thankful that they heard the gospel. That they heard the gospel. You see, the gospel was not native to their city. There was no preaching of the gospel in Colossae. I told you last week, located about 100 miles away from Ephesus, was three cities: Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Now here in Colossae, the gospel preaching was not a native thing there. This Epaphras was in Ephesus and heard Paul preach the gospel, and he got saved, and he come back to his hometown of Colossae and began to preach the gospel. And people would get saved there. Also in that town, you would find Philemon. And Paul would write a letter to Philemon, you remember, concerning Onesimus. And so the gospel begins to come into Colossae. Mainly by this man here. And Paul's writing this letter only after he's come back to find Paul, and he finds him in prison at Rome. And he comes back to find him because of trouble that has stirred, because of the false doctrine that has stirred in Colossae. He comes and finds Paul, and he'll spend time there with Paul in prison learning of him. And Paul will write this letter. By the way, the letter will be taken back to Colossae by Tychicus, because this man will spend some time there with Paul, learning some things. A mentor, you might say. But they heard the gospel. You see, the gospel came through Epaphras, and he carried the good news. He went back and he preached to the Colossians, and many were saved, and a church was started, and he brought the message to them. Look again at verse number 5. He says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard." Thank God for messengers today. Thank God for people that declares the gospel truth. Thank God for people that God calls into the ministry so that you and I, you know why you and I heard the gospel? Because somebody was commissioned to preach it. It is by the preaching of the word of God that people get saved. Thank God for the desire that God puts in the hearts of men to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we see them all the time, and we read your letters all the time of missionaries, and we had a mission conference of men with a desire to preach God's word in lands that I have no want to ever go to. But they do, because God has given them a message of salvation. I'm going to talk about the gospel message just in a minute. You see, they heard the gospel, and it was carried back to his people. When Epaphras got saved in Ephesus, he went back to his people. Now, you know what? Mark 5 and 19, the Bible says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends." Now, listen to this. "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." That's exactly what Epaphras done. He went back and he told his people. You know what he told them? His testimony of how he met the Lord. So he had to tell them. Go back and tell them what the Lord has done for you. You know what you and I can tell today? Just tell what the Lord's done for you. Amen. Just tell them how he saved you. You know, whatever he brought you out of, whatever he put back together, you know what? God's a big putter back together. He puts together families. He puts together friends. Hey, he puts what the devil tears down, God can put back together through Jesus Christ. You just tell him what he's done for you. That's what he done. He carried back to them the gospel message. Verse 6, he said, "Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it." Notice these words. "It's the day that ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Verse 7 says, "As ye also learned of." You see, there was a man willing to carry the gospel, and they heard the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no other gospel. There is no other way. Paul would say it this way. Turn in your Bibles with me, 1 Corinthians 15. And look here what Paul says there to the in that letter to the church of Corinth. He gives them the gospel, and he talks about the gospel. And this is what it says, beginning in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. You see, that's the gospel, that we have a living Savior. There's no other religion can say that today. Only you and I, we serve a living God. And in order to make us rejoice, we have a living Savior. Paul gives them here, really, the characteristics of a gospel message. Number one, it centers on one person, Christ Jesus. Now, this message I'm preaching, this series of messages is entitled, Christ is all in all. He is. He's all in all. You see, it all centers on him. Without him, by the way, in his proper place, you can't have the gospel. Christ must be in his proper place. He is all in all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the gospel message must center on him. You know, he talked about there in verse 4, your faith in Christ. I'm going to talk about it a little later, but your faith must be in Christ. It can't be in anything else. Can't be in a world system. Has to be in Christ. The gospel message is the word of truth. He says that in verse 5. Look again at verse number 5, at the last part. Before in the word of truth of the gospel. You see, God's word is truth. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, John 17 and 17, he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? Thy word is truth. And then he said over in John 14 and 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me. You see, the gospel message is the word of truth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you see, the gospel message must be centered in Christ. It is the word of truth. The gospel message is a message of grace. Listen, you and I are saved by grace. Amen. Saved by the grace of God. And God in his grace gives me what I do not deserve. Hey, he gives me salvation. I haven't done anything to deserve that. I would question that fellow that I was listening to. He might be listening to me, I don't know. But I would question that fellow that I was listening to when he got up there and boldly proclaimed, I've lived my life worthy of grace. I've done no sin. I would ask him, tell me, preacher, at what point you got good enough? Tell me, preacher, tell me, person, at what point did you get good enough for the grace of God? You tell me. And I'll tell you, you ain't there. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a what? It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I don't get what we deserve, because if we got what we deserve, we would be in hell today. But God gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us grace and mercy and love, because God so loved the world. Amen. And when you think you've reached good enough, you've got problems. Amen. I'm thankful for grace. And let me tell you something. When I got saved, I made up my mind, oh God, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to serve you the best I can. I'm going to put you in everything I try to do. And Lord, I need your help today. God deserves first place. The latter part of verse 6, the Bible says, and knew the grace of God in truth. Listen, we're sinners saved by grace. Titus 2 and 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth what? Salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, something else you find in verse number 6. The gospel message is for the whole world. It's just not for a select few, but it's for the whole world. Verse number 6 says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. It's good for any man. It's good for any woman. And this whole world, matter of fact, he'll talk about that some more. Look over in verse 23 of chapter 1, and he'll say it this way. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature under which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And verse 28, he says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. You see, the gospel message is for all people. This is what the Word of God does. When the Word of God is properly planted, you see, it bringeth forth fruit, doesn't it? It bringeth forth fruit. And when the Word of God is properly planted, it grows. I said properly planted. Not only does it have to be properly planted, but it has to be properly tended to. Amen? Just like you're going to plant a garden, I guarantee you, you're just not going to take your bag of seeds and just sling them wherever they land. Amen? And then say, there it is, Lord, hope it grows. It ain't going to work. It's the same with the gospel message. When it gets in your heart, you leave it alone, it ain't going to grow. But let me tell you something. If you feed it and you water it and you tend it, boy, it ain't long till that garden's a sprouting. Hey, it's becoming beautiful and green. And boy, next thing you know, there's some good old fruit hanging on it. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a child of God. When the Word of God's planted in his heart and he cultivates it and feeds it and takes care of it, after a while, there's good fruit hanging on it. Amen. Amen. Yes, that's what the Word of God does. It's the gospel message. And I'm going to tell you what, when you got the gospel message in you, you can't keep it in. It swells up. It'll show up. If it's truly been planted, it'll show up. Amen. That's the way it works. Let's go on. Number 2 this morning. Paul was thankful that they believed in Jesus Christ. That's what he said in verse 4. He said, since we heard of your faith in Christ. You see, you cannot do any good until you first believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done. If you're going to question the work of Calvary, if you're going to question the cross, you ain't going to do any good. Because we must have faith in Christ and what Christ has done. And John, turn your Bibles with me to John 3. You know these passages of Scripture. I want you to look at what they say. John chapter number 3 and beginning in verse 14. Look what the Bible says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You notice these words, believeth, and how many times they're showing up in here. The secret, we must have faith in Christ. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth, here it is, on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Paul was thankful for their faith, not just particular faith, but your faith in Christ. This is where it begins. We must have faith in Christ. We must have faith. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by what? And hearing by Word of God. You see, if you want faith in Christ, if you want others to have faith in Christ, then you got to get in the Word of God. It just ain't gonna work another way. And Paul was thankful that these people, there were still some there, there were still some in that church who had faith in Christ. There's people today, in our world today, I believe's got faith in Christ. Amen. We need it. We must have it. Paul was thankful for it. Number three, Paul was thankful for a willingness to learn. Paul talks about a willingness to learn. Let me ask you something today, church. Are you willing to learn of God? Are you willing to learn what the Word of God says? Paul was thankful people wanted to learn. Let me tell you something. And I don't mean to browbeat you. I'm your preacher. I'm supposed to. I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to whip on you every now and then. But there's a lot of teaching goes on here. Now, I do a lot of it. I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. I'm just an old country boy that God called out of the woods and said, I got something for you to do. God put a desire in my heart that, and if you've been in Bible study, you've heard me tell about that. God put a desire in my heart that changed everything I felt. I no longer enjoyed my work anymore. It got to the point I was in my work, and when I started, you all know I worked in the funeral business. Worked in it 23 years. But that's what I've always wanted to do, and it's what I was going to do. But about a year or two before I left, I found myself with no desire. I would go to the workplace and I would tell my wife, and then I would tell people there. I say, I just do not no longer want to be here. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to be here. God was changing desires. Amen. God was changing desires. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't claim to be a Bible scholar by no means. There's men in this room probably far more intelligent than I am. But I will tell you this. I love that word. And I love what it says. And I ask God's help. Oh, Lord, help me. Amen. You see, Paul was thankful people willing to learn. There was a man come back with a gospel message. And they learned of him. I have a concern today in our world, in our church world. I don't see people, a lot of people. I see some, but I don't see people with a desire to learn. You know, preachers, and I talk to you young preachers that are in the crowd today. You must get the knowledge of God. You must put yourself in the way. The devil will not bring it to you. You must put yourself in the way of God's knowledge. Because the devil doesn't want you in it. You've got to put yourself in the pathway where God, listen, God's called you to. God's put a desire in your heart. You got to feed that desire. You should be going to everything there is. You should be attending everything there is. You should be reading the Word of God. You should be on your face praying, oh God, give me what I need. Amen.
a willingness to learn the Bible, a willingness to preach the gospel. Listen, it's a great calling of God. It's a hard calling. It's a difficult calling, but it's a calling of God. And bless His holy name, He is our help. Amen. Well, I'm ranting now. Y'all stay with me. I'm telling you, if I would have depended on man when I first started SIS, I'd have quit a long time ago. Because man quickly had cut me down under my feet. Man quickly had covered me up with dirt. But God said, don't you listen to them. Boy, I got something down the road for you. I've got a flock you've got to feed. You hang on. You, well, glory to God. You and I are going through this thing. Amen. Amen. Because it didn't take long. I was in the pastor's office 1 week. And the devil showed up. Oh boy. Devil showed up. I became discouraged. And I thought, oh my goodness. But I'm going to tell you something. I found out God's grace was sufficient. Amen. I found out. And I said, Lord, I'm going to put myself in your pathway. And I'm going to learn of you. And what you tell me to do, I'm going to do. I found out that's not always popular. I found out that's not always what people want. But it's what I have to do. Now, I say that to say this, folks. You've got to learn of God. You've got to learn of God. You've got to have a willingness to learn of God. I'm going to tell you, if you've got it, He'll give it. Amen. If you've got it, He'll give it. He'll overflow you. Listen. Teachers, there's many people here who could be teachers. If God has put in your heart to be a teacher, you be it. Amen. Get in the pathway with God. We need a willingness. Paul was thankful for a willingness to learn. There was people there that was willing to learn. There was people there that wasn't. But there were people there with a willingness to learn. Jesus said over in Matthew 11, 28, 29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what I want you to pay attention to. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. When we learn, we learn to teach. I thought of what Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, there's that word, teaching. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And look here, here it is. And lo, what is it? I am with you. Always. He's not a part-time God. Amen. He's with us always, even unto the end of the world. Epaphras became a messenger of Jesus Christ, a faithful disciple, a faithful teacher. When he got saved. By the way, when trouble come, he had to have some help, didn't he? You read and study this, he goes back to Rome to find Paul. I don't know what to do. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Sometimes we need some help. Sometimes we need answers. Number four today. I'll be done. Paul was thankful for faithfulness. Verse 6 and 8, he talks about fruit, and he talks about faithfulness. But he talks about in this whole text, he's going to give some things. I want to give them to you right quickly here in just a minute. But when the word of God was given to them, it was allowed to grow. And they became faithful to listen and to feed what was given them. Now, like I told you, when the word of God is planted, it grows. You remember the parable of the sower? The sower in Luke 11 and 8, he identified what that seed was. Remember that seed that fell by the wayside, and some fell on good ground and some fell on stony ground? And what did he say in Luke 8 and 11? Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. A seed, when it is planted, grows. We know that. Faithfulness must come into play in order for it to properly grow. Paul mentions some fruit here that these people had allowed to grow. They had allowed the seed to be planted, and they had took care of it, and they'd listened, and they had learned. And the Bible here, Paul mentions some fruit that no doubt had produced out of their faithfulness unto God. I want you to look at them here. Verse number 4, you find the word faith. Verse number 4, you find the word love. And verse number 5, you find the word hope. Paul will address these issues in other of his epistles, but he's addressing them here. Number 1, he talks about faith in verse number 4. Hey, since we heard of your faith in Christ, let me tell you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It all starts with faith. We walk by faith. We work by faith. We pray by faith. You see, it's all by faith. Now, let me tell you what. The gospel produces faith. Amen. Second of all, he mentions love here. This is a love to all the saints. Romans 5 and 5, the Bible says, and love maketh not ashamed because the love, and hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. We got saved. We got endued with the Holy Ghost. I got in a conversation some time back. I was telling some of the men about it this week. I don't put down religions. But I had a fellow ask me one time. Said, "Preacher, have you gotten the Holy Ghost?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I have." He said, "Well, when did you get it?" I said, "I got it the day I got saved." He said, "Oh, no, no. You got to pray for that. You got to pray for that." I said, "I did." He said, "You did?" I said, "Sure did." "When was that?" I said, "When I got saved." Amen. "Oh, no. When did it?" He said, "I mean, has the Spirit really hit you wide open?" I said, "Yeah, it did." He said, "When?" I said, "When I got saved." Amen. When you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost poured in you. Amen. He come to indwell in you and live in you to be your guide, to be your helper. Amen. Hey. Amen. Paul mentions hope. Only the believer can have hope, because we are the only ones that has something to hope for. What else got that? Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 13. "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ," but now in Christ Jesus, "ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I remember when the Holy Spirit moved in. You remember? "And I became a child of the King." Amen. I became one of His. You remember that day? 1 Peter 1:3-5. "Blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." No wonder Paul was thankful for the believers of Colossae, because God had done works of miracles in their hearts. You see, have you today experienced a miracle in your heart today? Has Christ moved in? Has he took up residence? If not, he can, and he will. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that Holy Ghost will move in, and you'll become a new creature in Christ. You see, you'll be saved by grace through faith. And today, if you're a child of God, this morning, it needs to show forth. You need to bear fruit. You know, you got to ask God's help. We as children of God today must put ourselves in the way of God. The devil will keep you out of it. He'll give you something that'll keep you out of it. He'll occupy your time to where you won't be doing what God would have you to do. And then you're not learning of God. We have to pattern ourselves. And we have to make ourselves do the things that God would have us to do. Amen. Paul was thankful for them. As a pastor, I'm thankful for people that are faithful. People that are faithful to the things of God. And I know sometimes life gets hard. I know that. But we never was told it wouldn't. We was just simply told, I will help you. And that's what God does. Tommy, let's come and sing this morning. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation today. If you're here today and not saved, listen, today's the day of salvation. Right now is the time to come unto him. Come and be saved. Learn of God. Maybe God's calling you to something in your life today. Put yourself in the way of God. Begin by seeking God's help. Begin by seeking God's prayer. Maybe God has put a vision in your heart. Maybe God has put a ministry in your heart. Maybe God has put somebody in your heart. It begins by asking God's help. Amen. And letting God open up those doors. Listen, the devil will close them. But if you stay in the way of God, the Lord will keep them open. But if you let Satan close them, he'll close them. But you stay where God is, and he can't close them. Amen. He can't. So today, make a choice for God. If you're lost, you're choosing today whether to be saved or not. If you're a Christian, you're choosing to stay in the way of God or not. It's your choice today. Make it. Make it for Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing.